Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Philippians, whenever you begin to study the book of Philippians, of course we know that the Apostle Paul is the writer. It is known as a church epistle, but is also known as one of his prison epistles. And what that means is that the Apostle Paul is sitting in prison whenever he writes to us. Now, I think it's very important to understand that the condition of the prison that Paul was in and the condition of the prisons in our country today, or even in our world today, anywhere in the world today, is really nothing compared to the condition that Paul was in. Really, it was an inhumane condition, and quite possibly he was even handcuffed, if you want to look at it that way, to a guard while he was there. Now, Paul writes to us, and the theme of the book of Philippians is the human side of Christian victory. This book teaches us how to have peace of mind and joy in our lives. The reason that I'm going to slow down a little bit in this book is because I truly believe that is something that everybody is looking for today. A peace of mind and how to have joy in our lives. You know what? This world offers a counterfeit joy today. I say this to you. Alcohol offers a counterfeit joy today. Sin offers a counterfeit joy. And you know, a lot of times we say, boy, there's no fun in sin, there's no pleasure in sin. But honestly, that's contrary to the Bible. I didn't figure I'd get many say amen with me on that one, but it's contrary to the Bible. Because the Bible said this, Moses in Hebrews chapter number 11 said, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God. That word affliction means pain and loss. He said, I'd rather suffer pain and loss with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That's where a lot of people don't read the rest of it. It's for a season. Just as we are changing seasons now, we're going out of summer, we're going into fall of the year. The older I get, it's probably my favorite time of the year. Matter of fact, on Monday, I had some wind therapy and went across the parkway, and as I was just laid back, relaxed, and listened to the radio riding across the parkway, man, I was looking at all the leaves changing colors. And how beautiful it was. We're going into a different season. And the thing about it is this, you may live in a spring or a summer or a fall of sin, but I promise you, winter time of sin will come in your life. It will come. Talk to David. Boy, if we could bring David back and we could talk to David, David would probably say this, oh, I thought I was having a good time with Bathsheba until winter came. I thought about this today. I don't even know why I'm on this, but I thought about this today. I thought about, you know, David and Bathsheba, that first child dies. We know that according to 2 Samuel. And you know, in the back of my mind, I've always wondered, you know, David repented. David gets right with God. David repents, he gets right. He fasts and prays. But God still didn't touch that child. That child still died. You know what? I thought about this today, and I might be in left field. If I am, my dad will straighten me out after service. But I thought about this. You know, God probably done that child a favor. When you think about all the heartbreak that David experienced from that day forward in his life, the sword never departed from his house. That child never knew anything about Amnon raping Tamar. That child never knew anything about the way it was conceived. Are you hearing me tonight? And when God does something, let me just back up and say this. We may not always agree with Him, but He's always right. He's always right. So you think about the pleasures of sin. It's for a season. And you may think, oh boy, I'm living it up in sin right now. But it's just a season. It will come to an end one day. And people today, they are seeking a peace of mind and joy in their lives. That's what they're seeking today. The Apostle Paul deals with that in the book of Philippians. Philippians deals with the human side of Christian joy. The real battle of victory and joy, listen to me, is in the mind. We are saved beings living in an unsaved body. And my soul is saved, but my flesh, I still deal with it on a daily basis. You say, well, preacher, I've come to a point that I never have to deal with that. Well, will you sign my Bible after service tonight? Because I sure haven't. We're saved humans. We're saved in our soul, but we're living in an unsaved body. Our soul is saved. Our body is not. Our mind becomes the battlefield that is between them. The word joy or rejoice appears some 16 times in this book. And the word mind appears 7 times. Look what he said in chapter number 2 in verse number 5. Boy, I love this verse. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was the mind in Christ Jesus? It was this. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That was the mind of Christ. It was a submissive mind to the will of God. In the book of Philippians, we learn how to have peace of mind and joy in our life. To accomplish this, the book teaches us these three lessons. Number one, I must have victory over the place that I'm at. I must have victory over the place that I'm at. Paul was in prison, and yet still 16 times he refers to joy and rejoicing. And yet he says this, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. You have to learn that victory can be had in the place that you're at. Paul said this. He goes on whenever you study his writings, and he says, I have found in whatever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Let me tell you the reason why he could say that is because he had learned that true joy and true peace of mind doesn't come from ourselves, but it comes from the Lord. I must have victory over the place that I'm at. Paul was in prison. Number two, I must have victory over the people I am with. Boy, it got quiet on that one. I must have victory over the people I'm with. Paul was with the prisoners. But you know what he says? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, I've learned to have victory over the people I'm with. Can I just say this to you tonight? You're not going to control my happiness. You're not going to. You say, well, preacher, I'll make it miserable on you. God's bigger than you. Are you with me? You say, preacher, I'm telling you right now, I'm going to stir up a mess at the church. You know what? God might just move you on out of the church. I might pray you out of here. Every day, Brother Robert, I pray, God, you put the ones here you won't hear and the ones you don't want here, get them out of here. You say, preacher, you ought not pray that. Well, pray for me. We have to learn to have victory over the people that we're with. The world's crazy. They're crazy. I was at the doctor's office yesterday. I had to go to the eye doctor Monday. Had to go to the arthritis doctor Tuesday. I guess I'm getting old. I was at the rheumatologist yesterday, and whenever you go there, mom goes the same one, you just mark out 2 or 3 hours of your day. So whenever I go, I just, Brother Josh, I just prepare my mind, I take me a good book, and I just know I'm just going to enjoy it, I'm going to be kind, I'm not going to jump up and down, I'm not going to be like my father and raise the devil because they're not getting me in quick enough, I'm just going to be like my mom. And I'm going to be patient. So, he's getting under conviction. Maybe he's going to come to the altar tonight. They called me back. I went to the back. They checked me in. I was in there for a little while. And the doctor came in and said, hey, everything looks great. and said, "You need this or you need this?" And I said, "No, I just need a refill on my prescription, and I'll be good to go." And they said, "Wonderful." They took me over to the lab. They set me down at the lab, and boy, there's a big old line there. And I thought, well, you know what? If there's anybody in here I'm going to be kind to, it's the person fixing to stick a needle in my vein. So I just sat there. I read my book. Man, there was people jumping up and down. And I was thinking in the backside of my mind, you're not going to change nothing. So I just sat there and read my book. After I got done, as I was reading my book, they called my name. I walked in there. This little black lady waited on me, and she said, "Are you Mr. Barker?" I said, "Nope." She turned around and looked at me. I said, "John's all right." She said, "Do what?" I said, "John's all right. You can just call me John." She said, "What's your date of birth?" I told her my date of birth. She walked over there, started getting everything ready and pulling them drawers open. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And I said, "Hey, ma'am, have you had a good day?" She turned around and looked at me and she said, "Do what?" I said, "Looks like y'all been busy today." She said, "Yeah, we have been." And she said, "You know, I can't stick but one person at a time." And boy, she just started talking to me. And I said, "Well, you know what? I want you to be real careful when you stick me." And she laughed. And she, here's what she done. She looked at me. We carried on a conversation. They's probably cussing me out there because we carried on a conversation 4 or 5 minutes. And whenever I started to leave, she looked at me, and here's what she said. "Sir, thank you for being kind today." So she told me. She said, "Thank you for being kind." I said, "You know what? If we'd all just try to put a little sunlight in somebody else's life, we'd be a whole lot better off." We got to learn to have victory over the people that I'm with. Man, Paul learned this. He's with prisoners, and he still got joy. I'm headed somewhere. Number one, learn to have victory over the place that I'm at. Paul learned to have victory over the people that he was with. But watch this. I must learn to have victory over the person I am. Good or bad, victory is in itself. So many times, and this is a verse that's been working in my heart so much. So many times I hear people say, "Well, you know, this is just who I am." No, that's not the way it is, because whenever we got saved, we become a new creature in Christ. And he bought me, therefore he owns me. Therefore, I'm not to be conformed to this world, but I'm supposed to be transformed to him. And what did he say in chapter number 2, verse number 5? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So is that the way Christ Jesus would act towards society? It's got quiet tonight. I must have victory over the person that I am. I have to allow Christ to help me to be the person he wants me to be. We see all this in the book of Philippians. When we learn these three valuable lessons, we can turn our valleys into victories, our battles into blessings, our oppositions into opportunities, and our adversities into advantage. Watch this, chapter number 1, the secret of the Christian contentment. Here we see the single mind produces a happy personality. Chapter number 2, the secret of the Christian success. Here we see the submissive mind produces a humble personality. Chapter number 3, the secret of Christian victory. Here we see the spiritual mind produces a heavenly personality. Then in chapter number 4, there's the secret of Christian joy. Here we see the secure mind produces a holy personality. Let's look at chapter number 1 for a few minutes tonight. The secret of Christian contentment. The single mind produces a happy personality. The single mind produces a happy personality. You said, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Well, the Bible said this in James chapter number 1, verse number 8. A double mind or double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. A double-minded man. In other words, can I say it this way? A hypocrite. Can I just interpret that, not in Hebrew or in Greek, but in Surrey County? A hypocrite. One that comes to church and says, well, I'm this, but they go out there and they're something completely different. They're double-minded. And a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. In all of his ways. I was talking to an individual not long ago that had to sit through an interview because of some things that happened while he was on his job. And the SBI was interviewing him. Here's what he told me. He said they kept coming back to the same questions over and over. They just asked them in a different way. You know what they was doing? They was seeing if they was a double-minded man. If they was a double-minded man, why? Because a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. The single theme of chapter 1, watch this, is the gospel. Chapter number 1, the single theme of it, you say, well, preacher, what does that have to do with a single mind producing a happy personality? Well, what is the gospel? The gospel is simply this, according to the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. The history of the birth, life, actions, death, resurrection, ascensions, and doctrines of Jesus Christ. Or a revelation of the grace of God to fallen man through a mediator, including the character, actions, and doctrines of Christ, with the whole scheme of salvation as revealed by Christ and His apostles. So what is the gospel? It's very simple. The gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ. She said, preacher, what does the gospel have to do with a happy personality? When you meet Him, and when, maybe you'll get on board in just a minute, and when you submit to Him, and when you allow His mind to be your mind, guess what happens? You now have a happy personality. The single mind produces a happy personality. Gospel appears 6 times in this one chapter. Look in chapter number 1, verse number 5. The Bible said this, for your fellowship in the gospel. Go to verse number 7. The defense and confirmation of the gospel. Go to verse number 12 in the latter portion of it. The furtherance of the gospel. Verse 17. The defense of the gospel. Verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The latter portion. The faith of the gospel. There's one given theme that runs throughout chapter number 1, and it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we allow Him to be everything to us, and we allow His mind to be our mind, then I'm going to tell you what happens to us tonight. We have a happy personality. We have a happy personality. Let me show you 3 things. It's all alliterated right here in the Bible. Number 1 tonight, note the fellowship of the gospel. The fellowship of the gospel in verses number 1 through 11. But look in verse number 5. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The fellowship of the gospel. Can I just say this to you? If you're going to fellowship with somebody, you have to be like-minded. Now, you may sit down and talk to somebody, but I'm talking about having true fellowship. You got to be on the same page. There's some people that I talk to, but I've never really fellowshipped with them. You say, well, that's rude. I thought the same thing. You say, well, why? Because you're not on the same page. You understand what I'm saying? And your minds don't work the same way. So if you're going to have the fellowship of the gospel, he said this, for your fellowship in the gospel, you have to be on the same mind. Think about this. They had a like conversation. Look in verse number 1. The Bible said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ. In Christ. They had a like conversation or a like conversion. Why? Because they was in Christ. They was in Christ. Let me tell you the reason it's so important that the people that you fellowship with has a like conversion. Here's the reason why. The Bible said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So many times we take that to marriage. And again, rightfully so. But it's so much more than that. If they're not saved, if they're not walking in the same doctrines that you are, you can be kind to anybody. I'm talking about having fellowship with them. What did he say? He said the fellowship of the gospel. He has the fellowship in the gospel. Why? Because they had a like conversion. They was in Christ. They had a like commitment. What did he say in verse number one? He said, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So they had a like commitment. There was, can I just say it this way? There's not only saved, there's going to church. Why? Because they're with the bishops and deacons. What did he say? With the bishops and deacons. They had a like conversion. They had a like commitment. But watch this. They had a like confidence. They had the right kind of confidence. They could fellowship because their confidence was in the right thing. What was it? Well, he said in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. They had a like confidence. They had a like communion in verses number 7 through 11. You may ask, what does this have to do with a single mind producing a happy personality? When your mind is focused on the gospel, and when your mind is focused on the people that's got the right conversion, the right commitment, the right confidence, and the right communion, you want me to tell you what will happen? You'll have a happy mind. You want me to tell you the reason some people don't ever have a happy mind? It's because who they're talking to all the time. It's who they're talking to all the time. You ever been around some people and you know better than to ask them how they're doing? Not long ago, I asked one how they was doing. And when I finally did get away, I made up my mind right then, that'd never happen again. When they got done, I'm telling you, man, I was depressed myself. You become who you're around. You become who you're around. Today I was down at the house, and our patio, we had a bunch of trouble out of it. The cement started busting up all over, and it's just a big mess. And Chris Hawks was down there yesterday and today working, trying to get it all cut out and fix it all. And we were standing there talking, and we began to talk about how good the Lord was. He said, my kids are healthy. He's talking about both of his boys that work for him now and are continuing on, I guess you could say, the family tradition and the cement work. And we was talking about that. And you know what? You will become who you're around. If you're around a Debbie Downer, you'll become that. And he says this, the fellowship of the gospel. Say, preacher, how does that make me happy-minded? Because if you have a like conversion, a like commitment, a like confidence, and a like communion, you'll fellowship the right way, and you'll be a happy person. Number two, the furtherance of the gospel. Not only the fellowship of the gospel, but the furtherance of the gospel. Paul wanted the gospel to be furthered by his living, by his laboring, and by his leaving. Watch this. In his change in chapter number 1, verse number 12 through 14. The change of Christ on Paul. Now listen to this. The change of Christ on Paul's heart were greater than the change of Caesar on his hands. What did he say? He said, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have happened for the fallen out of the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. The furtherance of the gospel, his change, his critics in verse number 15 through 17. His crises in verses number 18. His choices in verse number 19. His commitment in verse 20 through 22. His conflict in verse 22 or 23 and 24. And his confidence in verse 25 and 26. The furtherance of the gospel, a single mind sees every circumstance as an opportunity for the gospel. Can I just say that again? A single mind, the furtherance of the gospel, his mind was on Christ. In doing that, there was a fellowship, but there was also a furtherance. You know what Paul could have done? He could have sat in there and gave up and said, I'm never going to serve God again. God's done me wrong. God's not been good to me. But you know what he done? He decided to allow his mind to be stayed on the gospel, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a furtherance of the gospel. The greatest joy after salvation that you'll ever have is when you take your Bible and lead somebody else to the Lord. Let me tell you what that is. It's the furtherance of the gospel. You want to talk about a peace of mind? You take your Bible and lead somebody to the Lord. Man, what a peace of mind. Watch this. The fellowship of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. But number three, in verse number 27 through verse number 30, we note this, the faith of the gospel. So we see the fellowship of the gospel. We see the furtherance of the gospel in verse 12 through 26. He says right there in verse number 12, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. But now watch the faith of the gospel. Look in verse number 27. The latter portion of it says this, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. The faith of the gospel is something worth standing fast for. Look what he said in verse number 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. The faith of the gospel. Man, it is worth standing fast for. Stand up for what you believe in. There are so many cowards today. So many cowards. One thing that is a trend anymore, and I'm sure that you've seen it. It's happened in our county. I know it's happened in Yadkin County. I've talked to the officers that dealt with it in both of the counties. But these First Amendment right people that walk up and begin videoing in a public area. They'll walk into a courthouse or they'll walk in to a public building and they begin recording. And you know what you need to do whenever you see that? You need to walk up to them and say, hey, how are you today? Jesus loves you. If you're not saved, he'll save you. And walk off. Because I promise you, they know law better than you do. All right? They've been numerous lawsuits that they've won. You say, I don't agree with it. Well, honestly, it is a constitutional right. It is. And you know what? They're willing to be spit on. They're willing to be arrested. They're willing to go to jail for their First Amendment right. Everybody's done got mad because I mentioned them. But that's what they're willing to do. I'm going to tell you something. We ought to be willing to stand for what we believe in. We ought to be willing. I'm talking about the faith of the gospel. What did he say? He said, you stand fast in one spirit. Not only the standing fast for, but look at the striving together for. Note what he says. Stand fast what? In one spirit. In one spirit. Striving together. If you'll say amen, I'll move. In one spirit. I can't stand contention in a church. Now holler amen or I'll preach an hour. I can't stand it in a youth group. I can't stand cliques. They out of hell and they bust up churches. You can holler amen or oh me. I just showed you we're supposed to stand together for the gospel. That's what he says. Striving together, not striving against each other. You know what it is? It's jealousy. That's what it is. It's jealousy that brings every bit of that on. And Paul says, hey, you want me to tell you to have a happy mind? Anytime that mess gets to stirring in the church, you want me to tell you where you can find the unhappy mind? The person that's stirring it. I'm preaching good tonight. The person that's stirring it. The one that they're stirring it against, they're living their life, man. They're just happy to be here. They're happy to serve God. They're happy to be in the battle for the Lord. But you find that person that is stirring a strife and not standing together. Watch this. He's standing fast for it. He's striving together for it. But watch what he says in verse number 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. To suffer for His sake. Paul suffered for His sake. None of us in this room, none of us has ever suffered for the gospel's sake. Number one. And number two, definitely not to the extent that Paul did. Oh, well, they made fun of me because of the way I was. That ain't suffering, man. I mean, come on. Really? Let's just be real about this thing. I ain't ever suffered for the gospel. Yeah, I've had people say stuff. Yeah, I've had people poke fun. I've never suffered for it. But the faith of the gospel, man, we should stand fast. We should be striving together. And we should be willing to suffer for it. I'm going to ask you this. Miss Tanya's coming to the piano. Do you have fellowship in the gospel, a part in the furtherance of the gospel, and faithfulness to the gospel? Is there a faith or a faithfulness to the gospel? Again, the gospel is Christ. If so, you'll discover the secret of Christian contentment. A single mind produces a happy, joyful, and peaceful mind. It's when the mind is stayed on Him. It's when the mind is focused on Him. Not on everybody else. Not on the circumstances of the world. But the secret of Christian contentment is a single mind focused on Christ. Is a single mind focused on Christ. Where's your focus at tonight? Where's your focus? Let me talk to you about 15 or 20 minutes, and I can tell you where your focus is at. I can tell you where I can sit down with anybody, talk to them about 15, 20 minutes. Sometimes, Brother Tim, it don't even take that long. Sometimes you can talk to them 2 or 3 minutes. Man, you know where their focus is at. You talk to somebody 15, 20 minutes, they never mention Christ. They never mention the church. They never mention their family. Their focus ain't in the right place. I'm telling you where the secret to happiness is at. It's when we focus our mind singly on Him and forget about everything else. As long as He's pleased, that's all that matters. Paul Chappell just wrote a new book, and it's called Focus. That's the name of it. If you want to read a good book, get it and read it. And he talks about in that book, of course, he talks about focusing, but he talks about through the years, he's done an unreal work in California, and he talks about through the years how he has saw preachers, they'll get with this group, and when they're with this group, they'll dress one way, they'll act one way, they'll preach one way, but then when they don't live up to that standard long enough, they go to another group. And this group talked about this group, but now they're part of this group, so he's talking about this group that he used to be a part of. And then before long, he's a part of this group. And then before long, I know Dad's seen it, Brother Matt, people that's been around church, you know, like that. Boy, they just jump from group to group to group to group. Hear me tonight. I'm not interested in no group. I'm not interested in no clique. I'm interested in one thing, and that's standing before the Lord Jesus Christ and hearing Him say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." Whether you think I've done well or not, I really don't care anymore, because I'm not going to stand before you. I'm not going to give an account before you. You're not going to hold me in judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ will. He'll judge me of what I've done and the way I was and the things that I preached and things that I said. And as long as He's pleased, the single mind, as long as He's pleased, that's all that matters at the end of the day, as long as He's pleased.